If you've turned in the book of Exodus, the fifth chapter, I'll ask you as a pastor has a tradition here to stand this evening. Just going to read the two first verses, verses 1 and 2, and we're going to take a real simple thought and pray that the Lord will use this this evening. But very, very familiar scripture. And in the book of Exodus, the fifth chapter, the first verse, and it says, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in, and they told Pharaoh, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.' And Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go.'" And if you'll stand as we pray. Lord, I do thank you for the privilege to be here this evening. Lord, I thank you. I truly do. Lord, for the message you've laid on my heart. But Lord, it's not my message, it's yours. And Lord, we bring forward, as the pastor said, as the mail, as it were. But Lord, there's an envelope, and it's for somebody here tonight to open and get a blessing from. And I pray, Lord, that your spirit will be here among us. Lord, everything that's said and done will just lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and prepare us for the road that you have ahead for us. Lord, I do thank you for this church. I thank you for congregations just like this all over the face of this earth, where they stand and proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. They preach the salvation that your word has given to us, Lord. They stand in the faith that you're soon coming again, and Lord, that you're going to take care of your beloved people until that day when you come. Lord, these things we ask in your blessed name. Amen. And you might be seated. And I want to bring a real simple thought this evening, just a couple of thoughts here on "Let my people go." And we know this scripture is the culmination of 80 years of preparation for Moses. The Bible tells us that he was a child who was born and who was spared during a time of great genocide in Egypt. And God had his hand upon Moses from the time that he was conceived, from the time he was born to the time he put him in the bulrushes and brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, from the time he was nursed by his mother, from the time he returned, and for those 40 years that he spent learning the trade and the skills, as it were, and all the things that you needed to be a leader in Egypt. God had his hand on him. And then he took him to the backside of the desert, and for 40 years of that 80, he prepared him to be a shepherd. He prepared him to be patient, to work quietly, to learn the things that he hadn't learned in Egypt. And here we are, some 80 years later, God brings him back to the place where it all started. He comes before Pharaoh, who was absolutely the most important man and the most powerful man in the entire world. And he said, "I got a message for you from God." And that message is he wants his people to be let go. Now, we know the Bible tells us here that Pharaoh not only resisted, and he himself said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go?" But he made it more grievous for the children of Israel. He put greater burdens upon them. He made it difficult to the point where God himself had to slay the firstborn of every Egyptian child to make it serious enough that they would let the children of Israel go. And I want you to think about this tonight in the context of the world that we live in, the fact that Jesus is coming again, and he is going to take his church home. He will see that the people that he loves are let go of this world. And I want you to see just a few simple points tonight. The first one is, I want you to recognize that when Moses came, he didn't say, "I've come here from God, and we're going to have a lottery, and that one's going to go, and this one's going to go, and we think we'll take that one, and the one back there in the corner, they can go with us." The division of who went was very simple. It was those who were a child of God. We live in a world today where the lines have gotten real blurry, and it makes me real uncomfortable sometimes because we don't understand that God has a people. And that's my first point, is that God has a people. God has always had a people. When there was only a handful and the world had turned to wickedness to the point that it repulsed God, he had a people. It was Noah and his wife and his sons and their family. God has always looked upon the earth and said, "That is a group of humanity that identifies with me, and I identify with them." And I would tell you, folks, that as a child of God, as a person who works in the same type of work that y'all do and lives in the same world that you do, it is not hard to identify those who are the children of God. I would not place my confidence in a religious experience that would not bring me to the house of God, cause me to love our risen Savior, and cause me not to want to line up with His Word of God, with the Word of God. Somebody say amen there. When we get saved, like we saw Shay here on the very preciously this morning, we need to have a life-changing experience. There is a power in the firm commitment, the firm stability that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. If I were to ask for a show of hands here tonight, we won't. I could ask you some really simple questions about your life. It's funny, these answers used to be more simple than they've become here lately. But you know, how many years of your life have you completed in confidence, knowing your gender, knowing your birthday, knowing whether you're married or not? Pastor, you know, it's amazing. Sometimes you ask people, are you married or not? And even in this world around us today, people say, well, let me explain. Marriage is yes or no. And I don't mean to offend anybody, but I'm telling you, God said it's one man, it's one woman coming together, you know, in a recognized ceremony, what have you. If I were to ask you if you had ever served in the military, a lot of you, I think of Brother Jim back there, would say yes, and here's my record. So how is it that we come to the place, Pastor, in the world around us today where you ask people, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? And you get a long, complicated, well-thought-out answer. If we know our birthday, and we know if we've been married, we know our military service, we know all these things about us, isn't it most important that we're able to identify the point of salvation where we got right with God? Amen. I can't tell you the exact day. I didn't write it down. I was in high school when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, but I promise you, I could take you to an area no wider than this pulpit and show you where I stopped my car under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and cried out to God and said, I don't know what's going on in my life, but Lord, if you'll save me, you know, I will have everything you'd have for me if you'll just have me. I'm telling you that God has a people. And when you begin to think about this, the pastor quotes this often, it lines up well with the book of 1 John, the 5th chapter, where it's written, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this is the life in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I think about those, Pastor, where the dividing line has been. Those that walked with the Lord Jesus, those that walked with God himself, Methuselah, Noah, Abraham, Daniel, David, Jeremiah, Peter, Paul, and all of these men were able to say, I am on the Lord's side. When Moses came back and said, let my people go, God knew who his people were. He still knows. And I don't care how the world around us today wants to rewrite things. The bottom line is God has a church. He has a people. He loves us very, very dearly. And in the book of Romans, it was written, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us, the church of the living God, from the love of God, which is in Christ. Folks, I'm telling you that during the time that these children of Israel, God had put them there, and for 400 years, they had prospered. In fact, the Egyptians were scared to death of them. The more that they tried to stop them, the more the people of Israel flourished and multiplied, as it were. And they came to the point where God said, the time is finished. It's time to take you out. He'll be taking his church out soon. He knows who we are, and we'll be going to meet him in the air soon. The second thing I would tell you is not only that God had a people, but the second thing I would tell you is that God cares. If there's a message I could bring of hope to the people who are here in this church tonight, it is the fact that God cares about you. God cares about me. God cares about us. And if you're not careful, you'll let the old devil get between your ears, and you'll think that you've been forgotten. Now, everybody here is going to go through rough days. Everybody here is going to go through dark days. In fact, there's people in this congregation tonight that have been through the darkest days that anybody could ever imagine. And you got through it because of the help of God. God cares about you. And when he sent Moses back and Moses spoke these words, he says, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. God keeps his promises, and it was time for God's promise to Abraham and to Isaac and Jacob that one day he would raise up a great nation and he would take them forward into this promised land that Abram had seen. He was coming back to keep his promise. I am so glad that God loves us and cares for us, because I'm going to tell you, quite frankly, we live in a fairly careless world around us. It's become a very cold world out there in many ways. But Peter, That man who loved the Lord Jesus Christ, who became the foundation of the New Testament church, the one who preached the gospel, and he was not only the right hand to the Lord Jesus, but he went on to be such a leader in the New Testament church. When he penned his letter, as it were, in 1 Peter, he said, "Casting all of your care upon him, upon Christ, for he careth for you." We sing the song, "What a friend that we have in Jesus." And that's true. And when all the world might forsake us, and when we feel lonely and isolated and abandoned, as it were, and we feel like there's no hope, we can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews, it was written, "For he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And I know, I was thinking about Brother Hilton's situation. We were talking this morning about the surgery that he faces. And I think about the families that are having difficulties. And I think about, you know, our dear friends and how they struggle sometimes. But we have the promise of Jesus that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. I think about our congregation, and I think about how the fact that Brother Allen, just a few weeks ago, he met the Savior who loved him. And he really began to experience for the very first time in its completeness what it is to be a whole Christian through the Lord Jesus Christ. When he cast his crown, as it were, at the feet of the Lord Jesus and stood in the presence of that great Son of God, that Lamb that was slain from the foundation of this world, that he might experience how much God cared about him through every day of his life. The Bible tells us here that Moses came back and he demonstrated to the people of Israel, who were really in a hopeless situation. They were slaves to a highly armed, a highly empowered, a well-trained army, as it were. And Moses came back and he said, "Through the power of God, he will deliver you from the circumstances of your life. He has not forgotten you." The Bible tells us that if we were to turn back, we won't for the sake of time, but in the book of Exodus, the second chapter, it talks about how there was a great bondage, and it says that the children of Israel, they sighed by the reason of their bondage. They cried, and their cry came unto God by reason of their bondage, and God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob. Now, I want you to think about the covenant, as it were, that God has with you today. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And when things are really, really, really impossible, that's where God shines the most. I see Brother John back there, and I think about not so long ago, Brother John was so faithful to be a part of our class and such a blessing. And I know that Brother John went through a difficult situation in his job where you had to make some choices, had to take a stand. And so many times he came, Pastor, and he just gave glory to God for what God was going to do, and then God did it. God's like that. Amen. If we'll trust in him, try not to get ahead of him, try not to make trouble, you know, for ourselves as we go forward. If we'll just wait on God, he will answer our prayers and deliver. I think about the situation with the young lady here, and I don't know her. She seemed very sweet this morning. But I'm telling you, whether it's Shay or whether it's Hayden or whether it's Steve, you know, almost 40 years ago, what have you, God is calling us out of the bondage, out of the sin that we have become entangled with as we walk and live in Egypt, this world around us today. Our salvation brings a full change in our life. Exodus and the time where they left the nation of Israel was a turning point in the nation of Israel. Moses delivered them through the power of God. They came out, and God had fulfilled his commitment to them, as it were, at that point. But the Passover brought a miraculous point of change. And I tell you, in each one of our testimonies, our personal testimonies, we ought to go back to the day when we can say, like Shay did this morning, God touched my heart. I felt his caring love flow down into my life, and everything that was old became new again. So God has a people. God cares. And I would tell you the third thing this evening is that God delivers. You begin to look at this, and the Bible tells us here that Moses brought this very simple message, "Let my people go." And what was Pharaoh's immediate response? "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Well, you know, it's amazing that God fixed both those problems. He became introduced to the Lord God. Time after time after time after time, miraculous things happened, the plagues and the things that could have only been from God. If you go back and you read the story of the magicians, as it was, the wise men that were with the Pharaoh, there was some things that Moses and Aaron did early on, and Pastor, they were able to duplicate some of that. They were able to do it, you know, through their own power, as it were, whatever power they had. But they were able to do some stuff that was like that. And then, Brother Gary, it came to the point when even Pharaoh's men said, "This is of God. There's no other way that these things could be possible." I want to ask you in your own life, have you ever gone back to a place where you could say that there's something that's happened, that this is of God? That there's no other way that the circumstances of my life could have been addressed except for the power of a sovereign Creator who loves me. Well, God brought them to that place. And Pharaoh was rebuked for his testimony of ignorance, as it was. "I don't know this Lord, and why should I let him go?" But God introduced him to this place. And, you know, there was no simple, easy answer, as it were, from Egypt. A price would have to be paid that only God could perform. And I would tell you in our lives tonight, as I would tell young Shay or anybody else, that everything that's good in our life, Christ has paid the price for. If we've been blessed, if we have the things in life, if we have good health, if we have peace and joy and people aren't troubling us in some way, you can chalk it up to God, who's greater to us by far than we ever deserve. But as Pharaoh saw this situation of the nation of Israel, he said, "I'm not going to let them go." You know, isn't that the case in our life, is that Egypt was holding on? And particularly to the young Christian, to the young convert, and it's true to any of us, but the world of Egypt and the world around us and sin always wants to hold on. I thought about the revival that we had, and y'all forgive me, but my mind goes back there so many times, and the times we were able to go to the revival, and, you know, it was 2,000 people, it was 3,000 people, then it was 4,000 people, and then they were going to build a bigger tent, you know, so next time they have this, they can have more people in. And I thought about the commonest, Pastor, of the people who came to make things right with God, not only to be saved, but to renew, you know, their relationship with God. Why? Because they had went back into Egypt. There is a power in sin that we should not ignore. The Bible says, "Let us lay aside the sin that doth so easily beset us." And I've always been a firm believer that there is an area of your life, you know what it is, and I'll guarantee you the devil knows what it is, where you are most vulnerable. I travel a lot, and it's part of the work I do, and I go to far off places and what have you. And about once a year, I have to go to Las Vegas. And I can tell you straight up, Pastor, there's not much in Las Vegas that interests me. And I see all the slot machines, and honest before the Lord, with both hands on the Word of God, I've never put a nickel in one of those slot machines or gambled in any way. Never has any interest to me. You understand that, Brother Gary? And yet I see people that they're there. I catch the early flight out, so I'm out of the hotel at like 4 a.m. 4 a.m., they're wearing these machines out. Pastor, I've never had an issue. I've never had any vulnerability in my life to gambling. But you know, there is somebody else that might have that. You understand? That sin that does so easily beset you may not be the one that gets me, and vice versa. But there is an area of our life where we have to be very careful, because it is wanting to destroy us and wanting to bring us back into the aspect of bondage. Egypt was going to hold on. They said, "We don't want to let you go." How about us, folks, when we see people saved? Don't we want to see them come back and be a part of the living church? Amen. And I know sometimes they don't come back. They go to another church, or, you know, they have family someplace, and they become a part of another great church. I've got no issue with that at all. I wish them well. The Lord's got a proper place for everybody where they will not only thrive, but they'll be an important part of that church, a part of the living body of God. But it does bother me when we see people, and we used to do this so much with the young, and I was looking for Brother Preston back there, but Brother Lance, but when we saw them years ago, Pastor, come and get saved and be on fire for God, it was just like a flywheel that started slowing down. Egypt was trying to drag them back in. And if we're not careful, we'll have that same thing happen in our life. Think about the dangers that Egypt presented. It was a place in the world around us is today that was very familiar to the children of Israel. In fact, to the point where once they had left Egypt and they'd gotten what they wanted and they'd seen all the miracles of God, they'd seen the deliverance of God, and they'd seen the Red Sea devour the nation of Israel's chariots and what have you. Even then, they got a little further down the road, Pastor, and what did they say? Maybe we should go back. See, there's a danger in looking at Egypt and looking at things that become real familiar to us. The road ahead for the nation of Israel, the road ahead for us, the road for Shea, is the road that takes faith. The road that takes courage. You ever stop and think about how good God has been to us? I truly do all the time. I drive all the time. I've got accounts that are about 5 hours away, and it's not unusual for me to get up, you know, at 5 in the morning. I'll be on the road, and I can see the folks I need to see from, you know, 11 until 1 or 2 in the afternoon. And if it's in the summertime, I'll just drive back, Pastor. So, you know, that's usually not a problem. But it gives me a lot of time behind the windshield. It really does. And Brother Thurman, you know, and some of you, and Brother Rose, I know you drive a lot in your profession. It's good to sometimes have quiet time. Nobody around except you and the Lord. And I think about how good God has been to me when I didn't deserve it. He could have tossed me promptly into a devil's hell as a teenager, and it would not have, and I would have been totally worthy of it. Never been a perfect person, never will be. I gave up on that a long time ago. But I can tell you that when I look to the cross of Calvary, I can have faith in what Jesus has done to cleanse my soul. I can look at your lives, and I know some of y'all's testimonies of how good God has been to you and how he has touched your life. But you see, the people of Israel, they needed to go forward. They were looking back. And if we're not careful, we'll forget that Egypt was a place of false religion. Hey, folks, let me talk to you tonight about this. People in Egypt, they may have dressed well, they may have spoken well, they may have been very proper, but they absolutely worshipped the wrong things to the point where God dealt with them just very seriously. The pastor touched on this this evening when we started, and I want to touch on this. You know, if we're not careful, we'll look around and we'll forget that Egypt can creep into a lot of different nations. I'm very troubled by the path that our nation is on. When I think about the Egyptians, they were given to genocide, and they were barbarians in some ways. They had more animosity towards the children of Israel than just who they were. They wanted them as slaves. I think about the path our nation is on, and it really does bother me greatly what we've seen when it comes to the lives of unborn children recently. Very troubling to think that the United States of America would go down this path where we would not recognize that life begins at the point of conception, and certainly a life of a young baby just delivered would be a precious thing. You can worship the wrong things. You can worship trees. You can worship the environment. And listen, I like trees. I've got nothing against them. And we all want clean drinking water and those type things. But the most precious thing that God ever gave us was life. He's given us the opportunity to know his Son, Christ Jesus, for life eternal. And we are the church of the living God. We must be the voice of the unborn child. Amen. Amen. I think about also Egypt, how they had strong bonds. These people in Israel, they were prisoners. They had taskmasters. There were hardships. There was suffering that was brought upon them. I think about how that there was absolutely no future for them. They'd spent 400 years there dwelling in Egypt, preparing them for the day when God would deliver them. And yet when the day of controversy had come outside of Egypt, the people looked back. So a real simple message this evening, and I'll finish here in just a few minutes, I promise. But I wanted you to think about this, that God has a people. Are you one of them? Do you know that? That God cares about your soul. He cares about your well-being. Do you recognize that in your own life? That you're not alone. That you have a God who created everything that you can see, everything that could be understood by our limitations of our mind. God is in control of it. And just like he opened the prison door and he let Peter out, and he spoke to Paul when he was in the prison as well, and just like he calmed the storm, and just like he had the great fish that swallowed Jonah, and the preaching of the few words in Nineveh that changed that, and just like he helped Noah to understand the design of the boat that needed to be done, God cares about your life. He wants to take you to the place where you will be the very best you that you can be, and line up with his word that you might serve him in faithfulness. But there's dangers in the world around us today that want to hold us back. Again, the false religion, the enticement, the temptations of the world around us today, there's not one person here who is exempt from any of those things. And yet God, in his great mercy, in his great love, has made a way for us that we might go forward, that we might flee Egypt and never go back and go towards the glory of heaven that God has set aside for us one day. So I would finish with this last question tonight. What's your Egypt? What's your Egypt? God sent his man, Moses. He came and asked the question of the Pharaoh, and he said, "Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness, that they might serve me." Are you saved tonight? I ask that with all boldness, because you need to be. You need to be able to go back to that place where you say that God has touched me. I've told this story many, many times, and you'll forgive me for telling it one more time, please. But years ago, when we were living in North Carolina, there was a pastor who became evangelist, and he became a pastor. He went back to pastoring. But his name was Dr. Chris Hazlett. And not too long after he became, and he was a wonderful preacher, wonderful man. And not too long after he'd left his church, he came and he preached at the little church we were at, and he explained that calling. And Pastor, I'll never forget that. That's been some 20 years ago. And Brother Chris said he believed that the greatest mission field in the world was the Baptist church. Amen. Did we see some of that during the revival last summer? Yes, we did. Have we seen that in our church? And I don't mean that in a bad way, but I'm telling you, folks, that we have got to get our heart right with God and understand what it is to be saved and have a personal salvation, or else Egypt is all we're going to ever have. Are you saved? The second thing tonight is, do you know that God cares? I so much appreciate the fellowship here today, and I love our church, I love our people. And, we pick a little bit at each other, but we love each other a lot. Amen? And that's a good thing. It's not always common that, you don't always find that every place that you go. But God does care about you. And the people on that pew beside of you, to your left, to your right, in front of you, right behind you, they care about you. In fact, this is one of the most caring churches I believe I've ever seen. And Brother Vinoy asks us sometimes, can we do more? And we try to think about how do we do more? The Wednesday Night Warriors programs and the outreach to the youth and to the ministries. Pastor, I never miss this. That when we have a missionary that come in, these women who are so talented present them with a quilt. I mean, that's just unheard of. That we care because Christ first cared for us. It's a great blessing to give, particularly from the one who's given us so much. I would ask you tonight, what's your Egypt? Has God delivered you not only from the destination of hell and given you eternal life, but has he delivered you from sin? Is there a point in your life where you have this continual weakness and you just really need to get it resolved? That you need to be able to have the freedom that God wants you to have in your life, to worship him in spirit and truth. How do you put that behind you? One day at a time. One smart choice at a time. One moment of prayer and walking away from temptation at a time. And I know this is maybe a message particularly that would be well suited for our young and for our teenagers and what have you. But I'm telling you, people, that the devil is real. And he is a liar, and he will pull you into things that you never meant to get into if you'll give him half a chance. You must be careful in your life that God is master of all of it, and that you have been delivered not only from the consequences of sin, but you walk away from that sin that does so easily beset you, and you do not return. Folks, I'm telling you that Jesus is coming soon. He's going to take his people to heaven. And and you could almost hear the voice of the evangelist, the voice of the pastor speaking to the world around us today saying, let my people go, that they might be saved, that they might know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might be part of the living God, which shall be with him forever, one day shortly in heaven. I would ask you this evening, would you stand and every head bowed, every eye closed,